And now we are going to take a quick break to thank our sponsors.
Hey everyone, this is Patrick with All Things Private Practice. I wanted to just give a huge shout out for The Receptionist for iPad. They've been a sponsor for this podcast for 4 years in a row, and I just want to say how grateful I am to their partnership and what they do for the not only therapist, but also medical community. Your time is valuable. Whether you're hyper-focused on admin tasks like billing or simply trying to make a cup of coffee between appointments or trying to use the bathroom, constant interruptions can derail your entire day. This episode and this year's podcast is sponsored by The Receptionist, a sign-in app company. The Receptionist for iPad is a HIPAA-ready digital check-in system that eliminates the need to walk back and forth from your office to the waiting room to see if your next appointment has arrived. Clients or patients can check in for their appointments, and you'll be immediately notified by text, email, or your preferred channel. Break free from the interruptions and make the most of your time, because it is valuable. Start a free 14-day trial of The Receptionist for iPad by going to thereceptionist.com/private practice. Make sure to start your trial with that link, and you'll also get your first month free if you decide to sign up.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the All Things Private Practice podcast, soon to be the Neurodivergent Entrepreneur podcast. Joined today by Mandy Dixon, who is a licensed professional counselor, EMDR therapist, and ADHD executive functioning coach, specializing in the intersection of ADHD and perimenopause in women. She's a member of the Menopause Society and the International Society for the Study of Women's Sexual Health, and her work has been featured in USA Today and Good Morning America. Mandy is based in Allen, Texas, where she sees clients and is currently writing her first book on ADHD and midlife hormonal health. Congrats on that.
Thank you.
Welcome to the show. I'm really excited to have you. And kind of like I told you off air, selfishly, because my wife is an ADHDer with perimenopause, and it's a journey.
It really is. And it's such an area, you know, how ADHD in women, it just hasn't been studied or talked about a lot. And then perimenopause in women hasn't been studied a lot. And then when these two intersect, it's just, there's almost no research out there at all. Nobody's really been talking about it. Thankfully, some people are now. And the women are really speaking up.
Yep. We're seeing a lot of lived experiences. Your account and your voice, definitely front of line in my mind. I see a lot of women, though, who are just talking about, like, what the hell is happening to me? And it came on like that.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, can you set the stage for our listeners who maybe continue to hear perimenopause on social media in news, but have no idea what that means?
So perimenopause, it's a natural transition that our bodies go through as women. So there is perimenopause, there's menopause, and postmenopause. So menopause, technically the definition is going 1 year without a menstrual cycle. So everything before that, the time leading up to that transition is perimenopause, and then everything after is postmenopause. But that's a hard timeline because a lot of women don't have a regular cycle. They may have hysterectomy, they may have an IUD. It's just very hard to measure exactly 1 year. But we do know that the transition starts roughly 7 to 10 years. And I've been saying this for a long time, that I think it's longer than that. And we just got some new research out that shows ADHD women in particular experience perimenopause symptoms sooner. So they report the highest around age 35 to 39. So that would be, if you do the math, the average age of menopause is 50, 51. So we're talking 15 years possibly of experiencing symptoms. And it's the natural transition from when your body goes from being in a reproductive state to gradually transitioning not to produce eggs anymore, not to produce hormones. And so for some women, that transition is slow and gradual. They don't experience a lot of symptoms, maybe some. But for other women, it can feel really dramatic, really terrible, physically debilitating, mentally debilitating. And we've seen with this population of ADHD women and autistic women too. I haven't seen the research specifically on the autistic women, but I think it overlaps a lot with what we have on ADHD, that, you know, we're more sensitive. We're more sensitive to a lot of things, and hormones are one of those, and it's just not talked about.
Yeah. And I think it seems like it catches a lot of women off guard, especially when it comes on pretty dramatically and suddenly of all of a sudden, like, why am I experiencing insomnia and like some almost like white hot seething rage out of nowhere and irritability and overwhelm and sensory sensitivity and everything else in the mix. And I think that can be such a confusing experience, especially when you're like, where are the resources for me? What do I do? What is happening to me?
It is. And it's very easy to blame yourself because a lot of us have been told you're too dramatic, you're too sensitive, you're too much of this, or you're not enough this. Yep. So it can be a time just psychologically where a lot of those negative thoughts come back because you don't have an answer. And a lot of people experience the mental symptoms before the physical symptoms. So you said, the insomnia where you're waking up at 3 a.m. and you can't go back to sleep. Well, we know that affects our ADHD or autism negatively, yep. which can make those symptoms worse. So yep. that's often one of the first things women notice is the sleep gets messed up.
Yeah, my wife is really struggling with that, like in those cycles where it's like a week long and she's like up all night or waking up throughout the night, yep. hot all the time, sweating all the time, and just like fighting a war inside of her body constantly and just becoming, like you said, overwhelmingly almost frustrated with herself as if like, I'm the problem. But in reality, it's like, well, no, we're seeing all these hormonal shifts. We're seeing all of these different hormones like progesterone and estrogen and everything changing, right? So can you talk about especially that overlap in terms of ADHD and perimenopause with hormonal shift?
Yeah, so we know what happens. So a normal cycle during your reproductive years, we have fluctuating hormones, and they typically will do this. And it's, you know, and that can be symptomatic for sensitive people because that's normal. But in perimenopause, it gets dramatic. So it can be, or it's erratic. It's a roller coaster. Your estrogen can be way up 1 month, way down the next. The progesterone is kind of slowly declining. And it's those wild shifts can just be, one, they're unpredictable, which is difficult, and two, extreme. So for somebody that is sensitive to those, it's, you just have it at every level.
Yeah. And there's a linkage, right, between estrogen, progesterone and dopamine. So you're seeing that dopamine crash and spike a lot of the time too, that we're seeing in these ADHDers. And then you add in the hormonal shifts as well. And then it's like, what in the hell is happening?
So a lot of ADHD women, younger women, will report that maybe they have worse ADHD symptoms right before their period starts, or their stimulant medication doesn't work as well. And so the research shows that estrogen supports dopamine. So when your estrogen is at a therapeutic level, I don't know if it is a therapeutic level, but at a good level, then your dopamine is being supported, less ADHD symptoms, your medication's working. So then when you enter into perimenopause, you get those wild, erratic fluctuations, which tanks your estrogen, which then directly impacts your dopamine. And that can feel just brain fog. Just don't have an answer for, the rage, the intense mood swings going from 0 to 10, like that emotional regulation.
Yeah.
In the sensory sensitivities, I mean, I hear that so much. It's the competing sounds just can become so overwhelming. Textures, right. And of course you're hot. It's just a sensory overwhelm and a cognitive mental overwhelm for some people.
Yeah. And I think that everything you're saying makes so much sense in regards to how that is impactful for someone with a more sensitive nervous system who is going to have more drastic shifts in terms of aging, in terms of developing, in terms of like some of the co-occurring struggles that start to manifest and appear.
Yeah.
Are there, I have to imagine that there are also linkages in terms of like PMDD and then perimenopause kind of being a correlation of both being increasingly more challenging for ADHD women.
Yes, I have this theory that PMDD turns into ugly perimenopause. And I talk about ugly perimenopause a little bit on social media, because when I was experiencing it, I didn't have a word for it. And I would see my friends, we knew we were in perimenopause. And, you know, they were not feeling what I was feeling. And I remember thinking, why do I have this ugly version? Like, mine is so much more dramatic. And, you know, and it was debilitating. And they didn't seem to have that. And so I've found that it's PMDD, we know what that is. And that's, you know, severe form of PMS that's can be debilitating. And it happens the days before your period.
Right.
So we know what happens with our cycles when we start to get in perimenopause. The cycles get wonky. They can get shorter. They can get longer. They can get heavier. They can get lighter. It's all normal. And it becomes unpredictable. So you take PMDD and then you add in more intense and more unpredictable. And it just, yeah, it's terrible.
Mm. I feel for all of you listening who are experiencing this, because I know it's really, really overwhelming. And yeah, so when you talk about like ugly symptoms or ugly perimenopause, tell me what that means.
Well, it doesn't have anything to do with physically the way that you sure. look. A lot of people think that it does, but it's not. It's just, you know, you say a symptom of sensory overload. And that can mean, you know, maybe a woman that's not neurodivergent doesn't wear certain shirts anymore because she's extra sensitive.
Right.
But we have this ugly version where we're crying in our closet because absolutely nothing feels good and we're overwhelmed and we're late and it's just can completely take you down. It's this ugly version of every single symptom, it seems like, or that's how I experienced it when I didn't have words for it. And I just started talking about it. And a lot of people said, me too.
I think it makes perfect sense because when you add in that heightened sensory sensitivity that maybe was there beforehand, but now it feels like it's intensified. Mm-hmm. As an autistic ADHDer, I can speak firsthand about how overwhelming sensory experiences are for me. So if that comes out of nowhere and almost blindsides you, it is very uncomfortable to go through the world feeling like an exposed nerve ending that's like constantly being shocked unexpectedly.
Absolutely.
And you're almost bracing for it, right? Like you're like, everything is bothering you, sounds, noises, textures, smells, etc. And then they compound. And then all of a sudden it's like, I don't even feel comfortable in my own body or my own skin. And I don't know how to stop this. And I watch, you know, my wife, when she's in this like week of, I'll say ugly perimenopause, and I think she would agree. She's going to listen to this and be like, she'll have to like remove herself constantly from things, go for like intense walks to try to like get some of that sensory overwhelm regulated or just be completely left alone because she's like, I don't want to say the wrong thing or react the wrong way. And I have to remove myself constantly. And I imagine that has to feel so lonely and isolating in moments where you're like, I really want to be a part of things, but I cannot because my body's not allowing me to be. And now we are going to take a quick break to thank our sponsors. Hey, everyone. This is Patrick from All Things Private Practice. I am inviting you to our third annual Doubt Yourself, Do It Anyway Summit. And guess what? This year, it is in the United States, in beautiful Portland, Maine, not Oregon. I know there's a lot of confusion around that. Portland, Maine is a beautiful coastal city in the Atlantic Ocean. It's a harbor city. There's a lot of history there. It's very funky, very creative, very safe, walkable, lots of diversity. Very progressive city in the middle of Maine. It reminds me a lot of Asheville, North Carolina, where I live. A lot of cool small businesses. And that's exactly why we wanted to have it there. It's going to be September 1st to the 3rd. And you are going to get 9 MBCC CEs. We have ASWB pending. We'll make an announcement when that's finalized. 13 prolific industry leaders, really about doing things differently. The summit has always been about showing you that our skills are applicable in so many different ways and to motivate you to think bigger, to grow in this profession, to take more risks, to work through that self-doubt, and to really embrace the doubt yourself, do it anyway mentality. We're going to be talking about how to rewire your trauma histories so that they don't show up in your businesses. We're going to talk about neurodiversity affirming panels. We're going to have workshops on alternative income streams. We have so much involved in this event. So make sure to sign up. Spots are limited, September 1st to the 3rd. And again, beautiful Portland, Maine. And the link is in the show notes on my website and everywhere else that you follow my stuff. Doubt yourself, do it anyway. And I will see you in Maine.
Absolutely. And that's where a lot of the mental health comes in, because it can feel isolating. It can feel lonely. You blame yourself. And one of the things that I hear a lot is the things that we used to do, because, you know, we're sensitive people, so we know how to cope with issues. The things, our go-to methods of coping skills, they don't work anymore. Right. And we're trying and we're wondering, what's wrong with me? Why is this not working? You know, and it can feel like falling apart. And your sense of identity is tied to a lot of things, like being a wife, being a mother, being having so-and-so career for a lot of people. And those things they start to get jeopardized. And that's, you know, you're in their shame and loneliness and just this so much. And it can just be a really, really hard time for a lot of people when you feel alone and all that.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I can't imagine that at all. I just see so many of my friends who are going through this at this time, and they're just like, it's so intense. And I imagine there's a lot of misdiagnosis in this, right? Like, you're going to see people get diagnosed bipolar. You're going to see people get diagnosed with personality disorder. You're going to see people get diagnosed with like really intense PTSD. And the reality is, like, a lot of this is hormonal and neurological.
Yeah. And that's really what led me on this journey, is I was seeing women come into my practice being referred by their doctor. They would go in saying, I'm just not feeling like myself. They would put them on antidepressants and say, see a therapist.
Sure.
Yeah. And the reason it stuck out to me is because I was feeling the same way. I was going to doctor to doctor, doctor. I'm just not feeling like myself. I don't know what's going on. It's something with my hormones, I know. And, you know, they'd be like, well, here's some antidepressants, you're anxious. So I noticed that with the women. And then when I found out just the link that hormones had to mental health, well, then the hyperfocus was locked in.
Yep.
And the, you know, the justice sensitivity, why did nobody teach me this?
Yeah.
So I went on a mission. And
you're writing your first book because of this mission.
I am. Yeah. And it's, I'm thankful for that opportunity. It took a lot of confusion and outrage, and, you know, there's still out there. There's still people that don't know about it or don't know that. And even on that mission of just learning about perimenopause, again, I felt alone because I didn't know why mine felt so much worse. I have been trained on ADHD as a coach, mostly worked with young boys. So it's like I never put the two together. But once I did, it was like, oh my gosh, this explains everything. That's hopefully the title of my book.
I love that.
I don't know, but yeah, roughly.
I mean, that's what people want, right? Is like to feel less alone, or to feel like my experiences are not just unique to me. Because I think when you start to have any sort of shift in personality or bodily sensation or mental health, you start to think like, I'm the only one who's going through this, and I can't find a reason to say otherwise. So when you start to see a combo of lived experience in addition to education and or clinical expertise and saying like, you're not alone in this, I think it offers a light at the end of the tunnel of maybe this isn't any less shitty and overwhelming, but at least I know I'm not the only one who's experiencing this. And I think that really does help normalize the human condition.
And to know that it's not your fault.
Exactly.
That's one thing I say to the women I work with, is when you start to feel that overwhelm, you notice something isn't working, don't automatically say, what's wrong with me? What's wrong? But ask yourself, what's changed?
Yeah.
What's changed? Is it my sleep? You know, is it my hormones? Am I at that, you know, luteal phase? Ask yourself what's changed, not what's wrong with me.
I love that reframe. Because shame that comes with what's wrong with me is really intense. And
it is.
That can wreak such havoc on someone in general. There's just so much stigma, even though we're in 2026 and like Mental Health Awareness Month. And there's just so much stigma and unknown, right? Of like, especially as we start to talk about neurodiversity and the impacts of late in life diagnoses and coming to understand experiences and then starting to say like, oh, okay, ADHD foundational, autism foundational. Here's all this other fun stuff that gets thrown in the mix that causes chaos and frustration and overwhelm. I want to circle back to something you said that stood out to me that was like, going to your doctor, advocating for yourself is exhausting, especially when you're being minimized or dismissed or just like, here's this simple solution, go try this out. That happens a lot to a lot of us.
Yes.
But I have to add in like the factor of racial disparity in healthcare. And then I imagine a lot of Black and brown women are going to their doctors saying like, what is happening to me? And it's probably being put back on them as if this is a character flaw or defect at certain times, or like, it's just all in your head.
Oh, absolutely. There's research that shows that Black women, brown women, women of color of any sort are not taken as seriously.
Yeah.
And women in general are not taken as seriously as a man. Yeah. And then you also have people that, you know, have, we may have to pause here so I get the right word.
That's okay.
I want to say like gender fluid. What am I thinking?
Yeah, like any sort of gender fluidity or expansiveness. So like someone who's non-binary or someone who's trans.
We need more gender affirming care in the menopause space.
Yeah. Yeah, it's, absolutely.
Yeah, I say women a lot because it's so drilled in my head and I'm trying to be more mindful and say people.
Yep.
So, because there are a lot of trans men going through this too, and they were certainly never told about this.
Right. And they're certainly, especially in this iteration of history in this country, are not maybe even able to access affirming healthcare at all.
Yes.
For fear of retribution or repercussion. And then having to suffer in silence as an already stigmatized and marginalized group of people, thinking like, what the hell is wrong with me? Like, why is this happening to me?
Absolutely. And yeah, you take the Black and brown people or people of color, the people with that need gender affirming care, there is a huge group of people that are marginalized in terms of menopause care in general. And then you add neurodivergent on top of that. I mean, we have to be there for each other during this time because it can be isolating. And I always say, you can sit with us. You can sit with us.
Yes.
No matter what it is, you can sit with us.
Yeah, that's really, really importantly powerful. I think community and connection is crucial in all of this. You know, like my wife is a Black woman. We live in the South, not as far south as you, but like, when she goes to healthcare appointments and gets like these simplistic answers, I get so angry for her. And she's like, I can advocate for myself. Stop, like take the therapist hat off. And like, but I'm like, this is so frustrating to hear this is how you were treated. And she's like, yeah, this is every day of my life. And that's,
yeah,
it's always a very stark reminder of disparity and privilege in the country and in the world. But okay, we've talked a lot about the struggle area. What are things that people can do? Like, what are some even minor adjustments or shifts that people can start incorporating if they're noticing that this is happening?
So one thing to know is that there is treatment for perimenopause symptoms. You don't need a blood test to diagnose perimenopause. A lot of people say they go to their doctor. They say, I think I'm in perimenopause. They do a blood test and say, well, your blood is normal. Your levels are normal.
Right.
And that does not make sense as far as hormones, because normal hormone levels in perimenopause is chaotic. One day it's this, one day it's that. So there's no adequate way to measure that. They will do blood work to rule out other causes.
Sure.
So yeah, diabetes, thyroid, things like that. So blood work is good, but not in terms of measuring hormonal levels. So what a good menopause doctor, a menopause specialist, there are some doctors that have gone and done a little extra training to know about menopause and treatment options. A lot of people think the myth is if I go to a menopause doctor, that means hormone therapy, but it doesn't. That's only one option. Their job is to talk to you about a whole range of treatment for your perimenopause symptoms. And they can pick through because every person's symptoms are different. You know, people experience it in a different way, but they can say, you know, oh, you're having anxiety, night sweats, and tough emotions. Let's look at those symptoms and what treatment would be the best for that. And you could say, well, I don't want to do hormone therapy. Okay, well, let's look at the other options. Sure. But hormone therapy is one of them, and it's really effective.
Yeah. And I think what you're saying too, for those of you listening, is like, there is hope out there that there is like relief and alleviation of the struggle and the symptom that's happening. And you do have to find the right providers. I mean, and I think that becomes such a struggle sometimes when people have more and more health condition or complex cases where you might feel like you really have to go to bat for yourself. You really have to advocate and almost educate the provider at times. And that is an unfortunate part of our medical system. And that can be really frustrating. And just not to give up hope on that, because there are lots of resources out there and lots of people starting to speak out about their experiences, which is certainly a much more affirming, cohesive way to create community and normalize experience too.
Absolutely. There are some reputable online menopause society certified practitioners, and they are, you know, paneled with insurance companies. They are online and licensed in almost all 50 states. And I refer women there a lot because, again, people think that you have to go in person. But you don't. You can still see your gynecologist. You can still see your primary doctor. And then you see a menopause specialist for the symptoms.
Right.
And the accessibility of the online platforms with reputable providers is really beneficial, especially for those people that live in areas where they don't have access to that.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great resource. What was that again? We'll add that to the show notes.
So the two that I recommend is mymenopauserx.com. Those girls are wonderful there. And the other one is Genev. So I always misspell this. It's G-E-N-N-V-E, maybe. I'll have to look.
That's okay.
I misspell it every time.
This is a good starting point for sure. So we'll add that to the show notes as a resource for those who are listening, because I think that's a wonderful thing to have available, especially when you have telehealth and virtual availability, especially for those of you in areas that don't have that many providers who just have to say like, well, there's only like one GP in my area and that's who I have to see for everything. And I think that is the beauty of telehealth sometimes. It's just that accessibility in all of these different ways.
It is. It allows you to be in front of an expert when normally you couldn't.
Yeah. And also I think it just creates so much more affirming, relatable, lived experience accessibility for those of you who are in more marginalized groups where you're like, I want to see someone who identifies like me or looks like me or experiences life like me. Mm-hmm. But all I have is this handful of therapists or doctors or providers in my area. So yeah, it's a wonderful, wonderful resource. As we're getting ready to wrap up, I want to just touch upon, you have a new coaching program coming out that we're going to highlight and add to the show notes. And one thing I want to just say before we get into that, while we were not on air, was like you were saying, I didn't want to hire someone to build this website because I knew I could do it. And then it took me 9 months. And then I did it in 2 days, which feels like the ADHD creative experience in a nutshell for all of you who also experience needing that, like, I need that momentum, right? Of like that pressure in that deadline to be like, I can't do it until the last second. Otherwise, it's just never going to get done.
Yeah. And I have people reach out almost every day, whether it's, you know, wanting coaching or wanting just more clinicians, even reaching out, wanting more information about how to work with women in this population or people in this population. And I don't have that availability through therapy. And right. So since I am trained as a ADHD coach, I thought, well, I need to make a separate business and offer that for the education. But it was like, I can't create a whole different website. That's just too hard. It was hard, but I did it.
I can so relate to that with all these ideas that just sit and simmer and they take up space. And I'm like, I want to do it. Maybe I'm being stubborn sometimes where I'm like, I'm not going to hire someone to do something I can do. And then all of a sudden the pressure builds so much that I do it in 2 days and this is, the results are always really good. And it kind of reinforces that that is my process and that I just have to stick to it and trust my gut on that.
I know it's a lot of stress. It's a lot of stress, but also, and I'd like to do like a cost benefit ratio, like, okay, well, I'm going to build this stress, but also, you know, I don't have to sit there and worry for months about it. I know that.
Exactly. Yeah, that's exactly it. So, well, I want to just thank you for coming on and making the time and sharing a lot of this wisdom, because this is going to help a lot of people. And please let the audience know where they can find you and what you've got coming up. And we'll have everything Mandy talks about in our show notes.
Yeah, so you can find me mostly I'm on Instagram, ADHD Menopause Therapist. Also have a TikTok with the same handle. If you look on my Instagram, I need to make this a little more accessible, but I have a link with free resources and I created a symptom tracker that is for perimenopause and it blends ADHD. And it's really simple and easy to use. And then the second page is scripts or kind of a reflection page where it asks the questions. And ideally you bring these two sheets to your provider, helps you be able to communicate what you're feeling in a clear way where you can get the help that you need. And love it's that. Free for download. Yeah.
Perfect. And we'll have that in the show notes as well so that y'all have easy access to everything Mandy just listed. Her account is phenomenal. It's very informative. So if you're looking for information or education, I highly recommend checking it out and then checking out her new coaching program or business that's coming out as well. And that's MandyDixonCo.com. Is that correct?
Yes.
And we'll have that in the show notes for all of you as well so that you have access to that as soon as that gets promoted and is out and live and to the public. Just really want to thank you again for coming on and just sharing some of this. It's super, super helpful.
Thank you for having me. And hopefully there'll be a book in a couple of years.
I think there will be.
A long time.
It's going to be one of those things where it just all of a sudden you write, you know, 150 pages in 2 days and you're like, oh yeah, why didn't I do that sooner?
Absolutely. I know that's what's going to happen.
I wrote my book first draft in that way. I watched all three extended versions of the Lord of the Rings one weekend that my wife was gone. And I wrote like 50,000 words in 2 days. And I was like, whoa, where has this come from? And why didn't I do it sooner? So totally relate.
Those little bursts remind us who we actually are in a good way.
Exactly. I love those. And I think I try to hold on to those as much as I can, knowing that they're fleeting, you know, but super, super good. So thank you again. And to everyone listening to All Things Private Practice, new episodes are out on Saturdays on all major platforms and YouTube. You can like, download, subscribe, and share. There's still less than 15 spots left for the third annual Doubt Yourself, Do It Anyway Summit in Portland, Maine, September 1st to the 3rd. Link is in the show notes. Doubt Yourself, Do It Anyway. We'll see you next week.